We have that masculine in us that is wanting to complete, is wanting to finish. The feminine is always saying, I want more, and like opening the new projects. But like the masculine, like want that completion. And there's something incredibly satisfying about that. And it feels like it goes beyond just conditioning.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast, where we explore what it means to create a truly exquisite life. I'm your host, Amira Alvarez, inviting you to be part of these intimate conversations about feminine ambition, what lies beyond traditional notions of success, and how to answer the question, what's next when you've already achieved so much? Let's dive in.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unstoppable Woman podcast. I'm Amira Alvarez. I am the founder and CEO of the Unstoppable Woman. And I'm thrilled to have on the podcast today, Veronica Clark. She is a woman who has done a lot of deep work on the masculine and feminine energies and how to embody that in her life and in her business. And as you know, if you are a loyal listener and you've been listening for a while, I talk about this a lot. And I have my own journey on this topic, working through this and what it's meant for me. And today we're going to talk to Veronica about what it's meant to her and how she has navigated this as someone who's come from corporate and runs a business and is doing all the things that ambitious, driven women want to do, but is doing it in a way that embodies both that sort of masculine, ambitious drive, that assertive going forth, going out there kind of energy, and that more receptive, allowing, receiving, that's the same word as receptive, energy of the feminine. So welcome to the show, Veronica. I can't wait to have this conversation with you. And let's just start off with a really just framework. I want to get into your story. I want to get into like how you evolve, but let's start with your framework on how you describe the masculine and the feminine that we all embody in different degrees.
Every person contains the masculine and the feminine energy. And so just one way for people to understand masculine and feminine energy, if they're not familiar with those terms, is like understanding the yin and the yang, or the sun and the moon, right? Here's an even better one would be masculine energy is like the river banks, and the river would be is the feminine aspect. So every single one of us has masculine, feminine energy within us, regardless of our gender. And it's important for us to recognize that, because when these energies are out of balance within us, it's going to affect our relationships. It can affect our romantic relationships. It affects the way that we may parent our children, the way that we run and operate our businesses. It affects our friendships. It affects every single thing. And most importantly, it affects the relationship that you have deep within oneself. Because if there is an out of balance, then there's going to be this contention within oneself.
So I want to go back to that analogy. I love the riverbank analogy. I've often heard the analogy of the waterfall, right? Like the rocks are the structure, the masculine structure, and the water flowing over the waterfall or through the waterfall is the feminine energy. And if we didn't have the structure, if we didn't have the banks of the river, we would have a pond. We would have no movement. We need that structure to allow the feminine to move. So I'm just going to go deep into like where I play with this a lot personally is, how do I hold my own structure? Because I need to hold my own masculine structure without creating so much rigidity or too much discipline, too much structure, too much narrow-mindedness, if you will, or narrow focus, that might be a better way of saying it, to like, what's the right nuanced balance between my masculine and feminine? So there's a couple things in there. How do you hold your own masculine structure? Because I think this is really super important. I think a lot of really driven, ambitious women, you know, they've gotten their success in life from what they think is that masculine drive, that masculine push. And without dismissing that, without dismissing action, there's a way that you can hold structure for yourself that isn't that push. Why don't we start there? How do you hold structure? How do you hold masculine structure for yourself without that push?
I think I'd actually like to start with your latter question first. So here's where I'd like to begin. For one, every single thing that we have experienced up to this point is usable material, okay? And we need to have had all of the experiences so that we can start to ask ourselves a question, like, is this serving me still? Is this still helpful in this, in my life? Okay. So in our society, we are geared towards much more masculine behavior and tendencies. It's a lot more celebrated. We make, let's say, knowledge and intellect and drive much more superior to, let's say, being vulnerable and being soft. The being feminine for many people, let's say even in the workplace or in the corporate environment, is like, it's like the red X. It's like, that's the last thing we want to do because we're going to be discredited, maybe disrespected, potentially sexually harassed. We're going to have to fight harder. There's a lot of odds stacked against the idea of being feminine. And so from the very beginning, although there are a lot of, you know, there can be some gender role assignments, but overall, the message that most people are hearing is it's more towards that masculine energy. Okay. So I'm going to say that that's okay. If that's where you've started, that's where I started. Okay. Is it ideal? No. Is it the most supportive and most wonderful, loving thing that parents or society can do for a child who is trying to find their voice and trying to understand what their purpose is and their gifts? No, it's not. But we have to work with what we have. And so wherever we've started, it is an important starting point. And there's, you know, I'm going to speak for myself. You know, I came from a very, very destructive and very abusive background. And so for me, I needed that masculine energy to pull me out of the trenches of where I was and where I could have gone to had I kind of succumbed to that. So me having the indoctrination of, hey, keep going, move forward, you know, let the past go, just get over it, stay focused. That served me at that particular time. And it helped me to grow in business, grow influence, grow wealth, start a family, to really start to have some platform for myself and to build some semblance of self-confidence and a little bit of self-mastery of how do I navigate this world. That's a part one.
Hey there. I just want to take a quick moment and ask, what's the thing holding you back from your own success? The hidden shadow or saboteur potentially at play for you? And do you know how to find it? We often have that one thing keeping us from our next level. And it's not always the strategic move. It's often the internal one. I found in my own journey of success and building my exquisite life, it's what I call a core wound or loyalty pack. What's that? I share more at theunstoppablewoman.com, right on the homepage. Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now, let's get back to our episode.
So what I'm hearing you say there is, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Let's not reject this aspect of us that's really served us, that's really helped us in so many ways in our lives. And it has helped us navigate business, life, right? If you don't have masculine structure, masculinity in you, then you're kind of lost. There can be, like, let me say that differently. You need a certain amount of direction in your life. Otherwise, you are just going, you know, here and there. I know you've come from corporate. I know you mentioned a little bit of a, you know, challenging, you know, start to life. Let's hear where you started. And then if you could give us some examples of how the masculine was really supportive of you, for you. And then when it became, because I have a feeling, there was a point where it no longer became the thing that was serving you the most. Yeah.
You know, as I mentioned, there was certainly a time where I was floundering. And thankfully, I had the insight and the intuition to know that I needed some guidance and I needed some structure. This is where the feminine actually does serve, right? Because at some point we make some decision that says, I need something different. And so this can be that point. And this was certainly a point for me when I was about 18 years old, where I made a massive change from living in California and coming to Arizona, where I live now, to really live on my own and to like make it on my own. And in order to do that, I had to activate some different power source within me. And it was a powerful decision, although I wouldn't have been able to put the words to it that I'm putting to it now. That was a pivotal moment in my life where I was like, I have to shift.
So would you say that was the feminine, you dropping into, you may not have had the language at the time, but you dropping in to that intuition, I know that I need to do this. I don't have the rational reason. I don't have the, you know, 5-page, you know, business plan or pro con list. You just knew. There was like some intuitive knowing. And that was the feminine saying, this, go, go. This is the energy that you need to follow. Yeah.
Yes. The masculine and feminine are typically always present. However, we may quiet one or the other. And so I do want to like be able to help follow this through, because I'd like women and all beings who are listening to this to be able to track in themselves, like at what point in my life did I quiet my voice? At what point was my feminine present and I was ignoring? At what point did I make this decision to be more my masculine? Because we're fascinating and we are wise beyond our comprehension. And this is why it's so important to give credit to all of our experiences, even when they sucked, even when you were like, I never want to go back down that path again. But you know what? It served you if you can learn lessons from it. So at this point, again, not knowing, I really recall, like I literally got on a Greyhound bus to leave from California, because it was such a time in my life where it was like, I have to leave. I was actually 17. I turned 18 when I got here to Arizona, and I had to leave. So this is like me listening to my voice and saying, okay, literally crossing over the state lines and knowing I needed to transform myself. This is the power of the masculine. Within a very short period of time, my entire life changed. I worked a couple of jobs. I went back to school. I had, you know, I finished high school because I had stopped going for a little while. And then I worked a job, and I was working at two jobs, and I found a woman found me. Actually, I was helping her to find a cute little Easter outfit. And she was like, I want you to come work for me. And she hired me to come work at the bank, which was Bank One at the time. And instantly from there, everything changed. I was 18, then turning 19. I got into real estate because of all the connections that I was making. I knew and was rewarded for my masculine aspects of being able to be task oriented, to be able to show up in a certain way, to get things done. So immediately I started reaping the rewards and benefits. I bought my first house coming from shit at like 21 years old, right? My first house at 21, and, you know, started investing and flipping homes and so forth. So then became a banking center manager. I was not even 22. So there were a lot of rewards for me being able to be assertive, to be focused, and I loved it. And it, you know, I got married and I started having children. And there was a point where I was like, I'm going to be the mayor. I'm going to be the mayor of Avondale, because I was making moves and I was making connections.
And you loved it.
This is,
let's make a pause there, because I think that's a super and super important point. I love it too, right? Like, it feels like accomplishment, achievement, that kind of mover and shaker. There's something, I'd love your opinion on this. I don't think it's just that our society grooms us to like that more. I think that's an aspect of it. But I think there's something innately satisfying about it. We have that masculine in us that is wanting to complete, is wanting to finish, right? The feminine is always saying, I want more, and like opening the new projects up, right? But like the masculine, like want that completion. And there's something incredibly satisfying about that. And it feels like it goes beyond just conditioning. What do you think about that?
I agree with that. I do. However, most people are coming from unresolved wounds. Most people are coming from like something that might need or seeking external validation because they're not able to source that from themselves. And so the deception about that kind of success is that it feels like it is satisfying some like internal drive. However, what I found and what a lot of the work that I do and the clients that I work with, it's like you are going down a path. And it's like, I'm going, I'm making money, I'm getting results, things are working. It's like, wow, but there's something that is missing, something that's missing. And if that something that's missing gets loud enough, it'll blow up. And that starts to, what happens is that becomes like nervous breakdowns, that becomes people using, you know, alcohol and drugs or sex or different kind of vices to try to quiet that piece that's saying, that is actually your feminine saying, we're out of balance. The masculine has taken us down a path because why did I love all the success? Because I'm going to tell you, because I came from shit, it felt like, right? And so for me to be able to say, look at my homes, look at my children, look at my husband. This, my family was like a trophy. Having a husband was a trophy, right? Yeah. This was having these things and having my businesses because I've always been very entrepreneurial, mind, driven. And so even when I worked in the corporate world, I still had my own businesses. I had group homes and I had all kinds of things. So this was very much this, it was satisfying because I was finding a ton of purpose and I was like, and.
But it was also like soothing this wound that needed to be soothed in some way. The interim way was this. It was a great strategy for the short term, but then your inner voice, that small quiet voice, started to get louder and louder and louder and louder and louder.
Okay. Louder.
So I love that. I got a few little shivers when you were telling that story. I loved it. It was really astute what you said about like, yeah, that's true. Like there's this part of us that it's not just conditioning. It's like the masculine wants to be satisfied. The masculine in us wants to be satisfied as well. But the whether it's healthy or dysfunctional is based on what the drive for that is. And is there a core wound that has not been healed yet? Right. And that, yeah, absolutely. I know that was the case for me, you know, like, and I think it's the case for a lot of uber successful people is like, they make their pain their gain, right? It's like, I'm going to turn my pain into, I'm going to transform it and be like, I'm going to use this to have success. And I mean, you see this in so many sort of ultra successful people, and it works to a degree until it doesn't work, until you wake up one day and you go, wow, my life is like, it's empty inside, or it's passing me by, or I don't have what I truly, really want. Or for me, my core wound was feeling unlovable, right? And like I was doing all the things, not just because I wanted the pretty clothes and the nice house and all that. Yeah, I mean, there's things that money can buy that is very satisfying. But I was also doing it because I wanted to solve for that. That was the big thing I was solving for. And, you know, there was a point where I just kept working. I don't know if you relate to this, but I just kept working harder and harder and harder and harder. I kept using the same tools that I'd been using all the years, and they were becoming less and less and less effective because I was more and more and more out of alignment. Like I was like, okay, that worked for that period in my life, but I wasn't listening and I didn't know how to tap into the truth that was saying, no, I can't be like this anymore. But there was also, and I bet my clients say this to me, but your clients say this to you, that like, it's terrifying to think, about replacing that, because that's the only strategy I have. Like, what's going to happen if I let that go? Who would I even be? Yeah.
Well, and that's ultimately what this brings us to, and is, who am I without this external validation from other people? Who am I without these titles? Who am I without these accolades and without this success? And here's the thing. To one, again, this is why I say it's so important for people to have grace for themselves, because everything, I believe, serves us when we have like more increased awareness around it. When I was going through and accumulating and doing all the things, like, again, there was a lot of rewards. I felt really good. But I'll tell you what the telltale signs were that something was starting to get out of balance, is that my husband and not my relationship was continuing to unravel. And we'd got so far apart. And my husband would say to me, "Veronica, take your hat off. Take your hat off. You're not at work." And we were young when we got married, so we didn't have the language either, you know, but had I really stopped and paid attention to that, I could have, you know, like inquired more, like, what does that mean? But I didn't understand what that meant. What that meant was my masculine was in the bedroom. My masculine was in the bed with my husband and I. And that was a killer of polarity, because if I'm in my masculine, I'm going to force him into his feminine, whether he wants to be there or not, because you have two masculine energies. You're going to be button heads. There's going to be violence. There's going to be all kinds of things on an extreme note. And I see that.
Define polarity for people. You know, I talk about the law of polarity a lot. So people might be confusing sexual polarity with the law of polarity, though there's some inner relationship. So why don't you talk a little bit about what you mean by polarity?
I'm talking about your ability to be really turned on and attracted to your partner, and your partner to be super attracted to you. And you have that magnetism between you that just draws you to each other and, you know, really leads to that yummy, wonderful connection, like deep connection that I believe that our souls long for and crave for. And so in order to maintain polarity, which is created through the opposites in, you know, in relationship, either no matter what genders, someone in the relationship is likely going to tend more towards the masculine energy and someone is going to tend more towards the feminine energy. And when you can understand those dynamics, then when you are with your partner, you can be more in the feminine. Well, they can be more in the masculine. And you are going to be able to have a much more like interplay of attraction for each other. So
I think a great way of framing this for people who are new to the concept is that opposites attract. Okay. I mean, it's so simplistic, but it's kind of basic. We know that if you are the same as your partner, there's not going to be anything interesting that you're bringing to the table. Like, it's just not going to. There's nothing new or different, and you want something that's different to spark that magnetism. Okay. So my experience with this, Veronica, was, you know, always being driven in my masculine and then not knowing how to take that off, similar to you, you were talking about this, not knowing how to take that off at the end of the day and step into my feminine. And I would say I've mastered that to some degree. There's always moments, right? What's, I think, an even more interesting question, and I'd love to get your insights on this, is how do we live from our integrated self, right? Our place where we're tapped into our soul, our exquisite, that exquisite feeling when we're really like alive, which to me is when the masculine and the feminine inside of us come together, and they're like, there's that magnetism inside of us, not just between people, but inside of us. And we feel this like aliveness, this electricity coming from us. But how do we work continuously from that place? And okay, that's question one. Question two is, if I am more in my masculine versus in this harmonized place, how can I step more into my feminine during my workday so that it's not such a switch that I'm flipping, this kind of like whiplash at the end of the day. Oh, now I have to be my feminine. Like, what are you asking me to do? And how do I shut that off? And like, I've been going 90 miles an hour. Like, I think there's a lot to be discussed there. I have my thoughts, but I want to know yours. Yeah.
It's really about creating and cultivating that inner marriage, that relationship between masculine and the feminine within. I do not think that you should have to be such a, like, switch dramatically into, okay, over here I'm in my feminine, over here I'm in my masculine. That shouldn't always have to be the case. Wherever you go, there you are. So if you can be in balance and in harmony, then you should be able to move like that ideally. Now, there will be times where you may have to be more in your masculine. When I'm creating certain things, or like when I'm like, okay, I've got to be a little bit more task oriented, I may have to pull in a little bit more of my masculine energy to get things done, where my feminine wants to play a little bit more and is like, I want to just be creative. Mm. Okay, yes, we need a little pause there. But overall, we want to be able to find balance within ourselves. And so there's a few things that are necessary to do that. I call this inner intimacy.
Mm, I love that. Oh my God, Veronica.
It is.
I love it. When I get like a hit like that, I'm like, okay, pay attention. Okay, let's continue.
We must start to learn how to fall in love with ourselves and start to truly uncover and look inside ourselves, to really understand ourselves and to nurture and love ourselves. So this is going to take some time. It is about, first of all, recognizing, okay, if I'm more in my masculine, there's a reason for that. There's a reason. I feel like maybe I need more protection, right? The masculine protects. The masculine is assertive and is dominant and takes charge and takes over. And then oftentimes, if we are more prone to doing that, then our feminine may feel like it's like, I don't feel comfortable in my feminine. I don't feel comfortable being able to do that because maybe I don't feel safe. Maybe I just haven't felt heard. Maybe I was told, you know, to be seen and not be heard, or just speak when spoken to, or whatever those things are. So it's just important to start to bring some awareness, like, okay, there's a reason why I do this. It's not bad. You don't have to go digging really deep. It's just to say, okay, I'm doing this for a reason. Is this serving me? How else would I like to show up? How would it feel if I were to show up different?
So my trajectory on this was like, I decided I was going to be lovable. Like, I'm going to work through this core wound. Right. I make this sound like I just like checked off the box, but there was a lot of work that went into that. And part of that was manifesting a really exquisite love relationship. And that then became a catalyst for me to really step further and further into my feminine. So I did it before that, but also after, there was like a motivation to really step into my feminine. And it caused a domino effect where I started making different decisions in my daily life, because that became more important than my task list. Okay. Yeah. And I share this because I want to give the audience a few little tactical things, like the masculine tactical things that I did to stay in my feminine. I created space in my day. I like eliminated practically 40% of the meetings that I was in. Sure. And instead, I had a long conversation sitting outside on the patio in the middle of the day, God forbid, in the middle of the day, not working, right? With my honey. And just was in allowing and receiving mode. And that was like transformative to me, because I would never have thought I could eliminate those meetings. I never would have thought that I could not be working all the time during work hours. And what it did was it helped me grow my business in different ways. It brought in different opportunities because I was not in this narrow, focused way. So I would encourage people to, if not something like that, figure out how to bring it more into your day. Now, I will have days that are back-to-back meetings still. Like, I'm not perfect, right? I will wake up and I'll be like, what the heck happened to my calendar today, right? Like, this is not it. But I do have some things that I do on the regular that when I do them, I feel like connected to my feminine. One is meditation. Another is ending the day early and taking a walk, working out, getting back in my body. Some people are more into yoga or stretching. I do those too, but like something that brings me back into my body and is like a clearer transition from workday to evening. And then I'm like, oh, okay, now here I am. I'm back with me. And so those are some of the things I've done. I'm still moving the needle for myself and like, how can I bring more of that into the workday? And like, how much feminine can I bring into my workday and still have my business flourish? And it's surprising how much. But have you found, like, what are your techniques around this?
Yeah. Well, the feminine, right? Like, she's going to come from the inside out, right? The feminine just starts to move from the deep within. And so you want to be, I personally pay attention to how I feel throughout the day.
Yeah.
I notice that. And so while I certainly have my daily practices, I have my meditation practice, I have my breathing, it is a moment to moment thing of just walking with my feminine and my masculine. So noticing how I feel and noticing what needs to be different in that moment. So moving my body, of course, being in nature, making sure that I'm really breathing, and that because using our breath is going to help us to feel more expansive, and it starts to activate our sexual energy as well. And the sexual
Tell
energy.
Tell me more about that. Because like when people talk about embodiment, it means so many different things, and breath is such a way to get into your body. But and anyways, please continue. I would like to hear why you think the breath brings up that sexual energy.
Because your sexual energy is your life force energy.
Yeah.
Your breath is the vehicle that transports that life force from your body. And so when you think about the more that you're breathing, the deeper that you're breathing, the more aware, then you're moving more life force through your body. So you're going to feel less rigid. You're going to feel more expansive. You're going to feel more open. Okay. And when you allow yourself to feel more open and to actually like be in that openness, then something starts to shift and you are less rigid. So for somebody who is still new to this concept and is like, you know, I'm a high powered woman and I've got a lot of, you know, things and a lot of responsibility, and you can pay attention to how you feel and just ask yourself in those moments, how do I feel in this moment? You know, how deeply am I breathing? And start to breathe deeper into your body. Feel that breath in your belly. Feel the breath even in your breast and in your chest and your shoulders. What I think a lot of times women get afraid, especially when we're talking about sexuality, like in the workplace or when we're, you know, in our business, sexuality is so different than just the act of sex. When we think of sexual energy, think about this revitalizing life force that nourishes your cells, nourishes your tissues, nourishes the organs. And so when you are nourished, this you're turned on, right? Because you're actually activated by the life that's moving through you. And so when you are turned on, you become more receptive to life. You become more receptive to opportunities. You become more receptive and attractive to other people. You attract more things that you desire. And it's like, because it happens from the inside. And so when we're more in our masculine, this creates more rigidity and more holding, because again, the masculine is designed to hold the container for the feminine to flow. What we need is to trust ourselves. When the reason why I feel like I can allow myself to flow is because I trust myself. I have boundaries. Boundaries are a sign of the masculine. So a lot of times when we lack boundaries, we have to be more forceful and more rigid because we're actually afraid to use our voice, which is a quality of the feminine, which is deeply connected to our womb space, also connected to our intuition and to our wisdom and being able to really, you know, to trust and to be in truth. So when you have boundaries and you have a stronger sense of why you are making the choices that you're making, this is a sign of developing your masculine. Well, I want to circle back because I was in the beginning, I was just sharing something about, you know, how do we start to develop this inner intimacy? It really is. It's the masculine goes and then the feminine. And it's like the masculine has to do with this, like, knowledge, right? We need to be able to know ourselves. So to develop a healthy masculine within ourselves, we also need to be able to look and be introspective. However, with that introspection, we also need the feminine compassion. And looking at ourselves from this really loving way and saying, it's all of the things that I've done, all the choices that I made, all of the mess ups, all the everything, it was all perfect because it brought me to right where I am. And so I can give myself grace. That's important. That's the feminine. And like I said, in order to truly be embodied, you can't like miss steps. You have to understand and have an understanding of why you want to move into more of your feminine. Otherwise, your old masculine tendencies will come in and hijack, and you're not truly being embodied because you're still just working from the mind. So there's very much a dance when you are falling in love with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just really wanting to let people know you won't get it wrong if you keep coming back inside and just feeling and moving and learning how to trust. How do I feel on the inside? Breathe into it. Explore with curiosity and ask yourself questions like, is this still serving me? Is this behavior serving me? I started to ask myself after I got a divorce and I went into another relationship, and I noticed some of my old patterns of controlling coming up that could also turn into some emasculation or passive aggressiveness or withholding, which are all unhealthy aspects of the feminine. And I was doing that, and thankfully I had such a very different partner this time than my husband. And it gave me an opportunity to ask myself questions like, how do I want to be loved? Like, really, how do I truly want to be loved in this lifetime?
So let's pause there for a moment. Let's give the listenership an example of what that might look like. Like, when you answered, how do I want to be loved? How did you answer that?
I had to look at myself and I was like, how do I want to receive love? How do I want to be made love to? How do I want to experience love from my partner? It began with my partner first because I was there, but then it expanded outwards to like other people, right? How do I want to experience love from my children? How do I want to experience love from my friends, from myself? And so I really had to ask that, like, I don't want to have to trick anybody into loving me, right? That's not love. But sometimes we're looking for those external validation. So it's like, I want to be loved for me. So if I'm going to be loved, that means that we have to, we really have to allow ourselves to feel like we're worthy of love. So that meant,
absolutely,
how I want to be loved, that means I'm going to have to really start to show that love to myself. I also asked a flip question of, how do I want to love?
So good.
To be loved, and how do I want to love? How do I want to give love? How do I want it to show? Mm-hmm. This was really important because sometimes in the past, my love was conditional. Mm-hmm. I'm going to love you. I'll show you love when you show up in a certain way. I will show love, you know, under certain conditions.
Right.
And this is,
we can say that we want to love unconditionally, but then when the conditions aren't the way we want it is when that really is tested, right? Then is when you really come to face the truth of, like, is this conditional love? Do I only love when someone is behaving in a certain way, or can I, or is this a love that doesn't have that kind of bound, right? Is it unbounded?
Hey, Amira here. Want to know more about what keeps uber successful women from achieving everything they want in life? Find out more at theunstoppablewoman.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
It's okay to love with conditions. Just express them. Express what the boundaries are. Because no, I'm not going to tolerate mistreatment. I'm not going to tolerate certain things. So when you ask those questions about, like, how do I want to be loved? How do I want to love? Well, like, there's going to be some things that fall outside of that category, which means I need some boundaries and I'm going to be able to express those.
And that's interesting. Yeah. I call those standards for myself, like my inner language on this. I call those standards, right? These are standards that I have. And then I think I would not be in a relationship. These are my relationship standards, right? If I choose to love, can I choose to love no matter what? I don't necessarily stay in the relationship.
Right.
Right. But can I, right? Like if someone's mistreating me, do I stay in the relationship? No. But can I continue to allow the flow of love? Because
yes,
it only hurts me to cut off that love. Like that, like I was walking through the house this morning and I was feeling in my body this, like, I was very focused. I had a bunch of things I was doing. I was very task oriented. And I could feel the sort of bracing in front of my heart and in my chest. And I was cutting off the flow of love from me to the world, right? There was no one in my space except for my little puppy dog. But like, I could feel that I was cutting off my own flow of love, right? And so I think that this like noticing when you're bracing, noticing when you're cutting off love, whether it's to yourself, to the environment around you, or to your partner, is fascinating. And can you allow that to flow regardless of whether you're having a bad day, or, you know, something didn't go as planned, or you're late, or whatever it is, right? Small or large challenges in life. And anyways, I've gone off on a little tangent, but
I love it.
Yeah.
It's such a high, you went much deeper than where I was going. And actually that's like, that is the higher level of love. That is the unconditional love. That's a higher plane of loving. So I love that is very clear of the work that you've done.
That took a beat. Let me just tell you, Veronica.
Oh, no, I believe it. That's
an overnight thing.
No, I know. I plan on doing a TED Talk later this year, and it's going to be on forgiveness. And so you can't come to that point unless you have done deeper level work. And I'm just saying, like, for people who are like just trying to kind of get started on this path, you know, that's definitely a gem that you just shared. So,
yeah. But to your point, let's go back to conditions, boundaries, standards. There's different words, like, let's not splice words, but there is a place for a hard no, right? And to know what that is a very important thing, because as women, I think we're trained to give, and like we can have very porous boundaries and they can kind of just seep away.
You know, so what I'm hearing you talk about is I teach about relationship agreements, and actually being able to ask these questions helped me to come up with this framework that I designed. And so I love that you use the word standards. I call these, like, these are your core needs, right? Mm. What are the core needs that you have in your relationships? Okay, you have to get clear on that. Like, if you were a
give us a few. Examples about what a core need might be.
So a core need might be, you know, like mutual respect and, you know, support. A core need might be a certain amount of affection and intimacy that you need in order to feel like you are being, you know, you're being supported in this relationship. Another core need might be a level of communication, that you need a certain kind of communication. So every human's going to have different core needs, but these are also very, like, basic. These are your, like, fundamental needs.
Okay, like foundational.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. I need a certain amount of light. If I'm a plant, I need a certain amount of water. I need a certain amount. You've got to be able to know what you need. When you have those core needs, I always encourage, you know, my clients, make a list of these core needs, write them out. And then you can check in to see, is this reasonable? Is this reasonable? Is this something that, you know, that my partner really can give to me? Like if a core need is, I need you to fix this wound that I got from my childhood. Well, that's not really reasonable, but they can help to support in certain ways. And so I help them to get clear on that. But the other thing would be, so what are your deal breakers? What's going to be the thing that's going to like, this is a no for me. Like if you smoke, it's a no for me. If you do like recreational drugs, that's going to be a deal breaker. I'm not into it. Right. And then there can also, so boundaries is going to be a little bit separate and this could be like some non-negotiables and so forth. But just to just kind of come back together, this is the kind of stuff that starts to come out when you start developing this inner marriage. You start to live a higher vibrational life because you are starting to pour into yourself. You are learning how to self-source. This doesn't mean that you don't get support from your friends or from your lover or from, you know, any of those things, but you are learning who you are and what you truly want and what your true desires are. And you're learning how to show up in balance so that you're not codependent on other people. You can show up in co-creativity. This leads to much healthier relationships. When I was in that more masculine state, then I needed to constantly be in charge and to be in control. And so that meant that there were going to have to be people who were submissive to me. And so I think that women need to really start to recognize, where are you sourcing your power from? Yeah. Is it power with? Is it power over? Is it power under? And where?
So good.
Right. Where can we be in more balance?
I will say that, like, when I was more in my masculine, I definitely had that, like, people needed to be subordinate to me, which then the follow up on that is then no one could support me. Right. And yet I was craving support because I was too far in my masculine. I was being the support for everyone and too much for myself. And I didn't have that support. And it's like you have to unpack it. It's this like matrix. So this has been an amazing conversation, Veronica. Beautiful, beautiful shares. I love hearing your perspective on all of this. It's just so powerful. And I think the audience is going to really, really resonate with it. If they want to, before, I have a few more questions for you, but before I ask them, where can they find you if they want to learn more about what you do and who you are and all of that?
I think the best place is my website, veronicalynclark.com. And that is going to go have links to my books, to different events and different things like that, where they can find me, my podcast. And let's see, the other thing I wanted to share is that I have a book and it's called Sex Boss. And the book was actually written because I was asked to speak at a conference for women. It was a leadership conference, and I've spoken a lot at leadership conferences, and so it was so funny, just a quick short story, but I submitted my initial title for my talk, and the coordinator sent me a message, and she said, you know, we were expecting a little bit something more edgy from you with the title. And I was like, really? And so I said, thought about it, and like, okay, well, corporate leaders and women, they like sex and they want to be sexual. And so it's called Sex Boss.
I love it.
Sex stands for sacred energy exchange. Right. And so you can take a look at this book because I talk a lot about balancing the masculine and feminine energies, and also to really help women to have different practices that they can do on their own to come into their feminine energy, as well as practices that they can do with their partner. So that is, I just wanted to make sure to give that book a shout out because I think that's really helpful.
I love it. I'm going to go check it out. I think that's great. So we can find that on your website. Is it also on Amazon as well?
It is on Amazon as well. Yeah, it's on Amazon.
Fantastic.
And I have some affirmation card decks that actually goes with the book as well. So it's like, it's so cute.
Just so the audience knows, if you didn't catch her website, we'll put that in the show notes so that you can find that there. Okay. Any other places where you hang out that you want to let people know about?
Instagram. They can find me on Instagram.
You're on the gram. Okay.
Great. On the gram. And I'm also come to see me at Savannah Wellness Resort and Spa in Carefree, Arizona. So I do a lot of workshops here and it's absolutely incredible. So I have to come and check me out in those three spots.
Okay. Fantastic. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So for our final three questions, can you tell me like a limiting belief that you had to get over to move through in order to really receive your own feminine?
That it was safe enough for me to be in my feminine.
Absolutely.
I had a limiting belief that being in my feminine wasn't safe, right? It wasn't safe because other women would be judgmental. Right.
Let's just pause there. Can you pause there, Veronica? So that's such a big one. Okay. I want to let you talk, but I just need to like underscore this. Like I run groups for very ultra successful women and they're like the top of their game and they think that no one gets them, but they're like desperate for connection. And part of the facilitation is to create a space where you can be yourself and not put up that wall so that you can feel safe and not feel like you're going to be criticized and judged by other women. It's such a rare thing to experience. We don't have nearly enough of that. So I'm a proponent. Yeah.
I agree. And it's very necessary work, especially if we're going to truly expand. So that was something that I had to then trust sisterhood. I had to trust that. And that's really what allowed me to start creating women's circles and doing a lot more women's retreats and things. So, yeah. And then I guess also with partners that because I was so used to being in my masculine, I remember I told one partner, I said, I need your man to be bigger than my man. And I'm a very big man. So it also, that went back to, how do I want to be loved? And so it got, I was able to get really clear on what I'm looking for in partnership so that I can ask for what I want. And that allowed the feminine in me to be able to relax and to really say, yeah, my partner can provide for me, can truly provide for me. And I don't have to compromise myself or dim my light. I can still be as big and bright and beautiful. And he's going to love that and is going to be and wants to provide for me in those ways. So that truly, as someone who was much more in her masculine, the practice of learning how to receive was absolutely crucial and pivotal to my ability to be in my feminine.
I love that. I love that. How about this question to end with? What is one way that you're still stepping into your self-worth, like the fullness of your worth? And what is one way that you're just super proud of having already stepped into your worth?
Oh, let's see. Well, this is this is kind of tender a little bit. Actually, it's like right now, I'm getting ready to go to Bali here in a moment. Next week. And so I'm like, I got my hair braided and it's different for me than my normal look. And so I'll tell you, I'm always pushing my edges of like, where do I get too comfortable? Where do I get fixed in the way that I show up? And so I wanted to play and be a little bit more creative and a little bit more daring and do something out of the box. And so for me, this was really important because when I went into the corporate world, I mean, I was so rigid. I was like black nylons, right? Black
you know, suited and booted, hair straight. Like, I look like the picture perfect poster girl, and everybody loved me, and I had all the accolades for that, right? Like, I looked a certain way. I showed up. I got in the door. It's like, hello. So for me, really being able to uncouple that I have to look a certain way in order to have worth and value is absolutely key to my own integrity within that. It's like, I can show up anyway, as long as like I love me. I am showing up in a way that I want to for me, that's fun and playful. That's a way that I'm continuing to expand my aperture around my own self-worth and my own beauty, my own grace, my own everything. So
I love that. That could make an entire podcast topic conversation in and of itself, because I think that I mean, I have my own story around beauty and worth, and I think that there's a lot there for women in general. And not to make light of this or anything, but like, what is up with us in our hair? I mean, like we even have the bad hair day. We are obsessed by this. I am. I'm raising my hand to this. Like, I'm not outside of this. But anyway, there's so much power in claiming your worth no matter what, even on that bad hair day. And there is also so much in recognizing our beauty and cultivating our beauty that, like, I don't want to dismiss the power of stepping in and claiming our beauty. For years, that was the story that I was, you know, I was raised by the 1970s feminists, right? Like, look like a man, don't look like a woman, because it wasn't safe and it wasn't, you know, considered being an authority or, you know, all the things that, you know, still go on to some degree today. And so claiming my beauty was a really big, and by saying claiming my beauty, I actually mean some of the more constructed ways of doing beauty, doing your hair, putting on makeup, wearing lipstick, adorning myself with jewelry, wearing a shiny, pretty, silky shirt, right? Like these are constructed. This is the outside, but it's the outside matching the inside. There's so much here. Oh my God, we could just keep talking about this. So much.
Yeah. I love talking about this. I would love for us to talk about this some other time, because I have actually been working on this consciously since about 2018. And I know we're right at time, so we won't, but this is actually something that I've played around with a lot, even on my social media, where not showing up perfect, not showing up, but like in the moments of just being able to just show up when I actually felt the juice to show up, even when the lighting wasn't amazing, or even when I'm like, I don't have makeup on, and having to push against that, oh no, they're not going to like it. Like, who the freak are they? Like, I don't care. So it's really been my own stake in the ground to say, women, we are beautiful and powerful from the inside, and we must be willing to be able to shine our bright light. Everything else is gonna fall into place if we can stand together and stand for ourselves.
And I love it. Yeah, I love it. So much to talk about around that. So thank you, Veronica, for being on the podcast. I just want to reflect back that there's like a huge breadth and depth of knowledge that you have on this. And I can tell that we've just touched the surface, and that I love the arc, right? We went in a lot of different places. This was a truly feminine, you know, meandering of a conversation. There are a lot of open loops that we didn't close. But nonetheless, I feel like that this is the kind of conversation that more women need to be exposed to. And I'm so grateful that you're doing this work and sharing it in the world. So thank you so much for being a guest.
Amira, thank you. It really has been a pleasure. Thanks so much, everybody.
Most ambitious women I work with already have good lives, possibly even great. But there's often this one area that is fine as is, but not yet exquisite. And yet, when we unlock that one area, they access a whole new level. I want to personally invite you to book a complimentary call with me and discover what that unlock could do for you. These calls are for women who have done at least a million or more in their business or executive career and are ready for an exquisite life inside and out. You can book our conversation at theunstoppablewoman.com/connect.